Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen. Federal agents in Missouri are questioning a man after a suspicious device was found in his carry-on bag at Kansas City International Airport. Southwest Airlines said transportation security agents stopped a man going through the checkpoint. Officials said a bomb squad has been called to the scene to examine the device. Authorities say 17 people remain unaccounted for as they assess damage from a massive wildfire that's been burning near Bastrop, near Austin, Texas. The Bastrop County Sheriff said it's possible that those people may simply be out of town. The biggest of today's 9/11 commemorations have been in the communities most directly affected by the attacks, New York, Washington, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There have been ceremonies at today's NFL opening games, with massive American flags unfurled on the fields during the national anthem. I'm Ron Allen.
Hi, my name is Mike in Huntington Beach, California. I like the three-step plan. I am able to work at home without compromising any of my time with family. I see that my future for being able to retire, being able to pay off some bills, will make a big difference for me to be able to give to charities that I want to give, be able to help my grandkids and whatnot in the future as well. I would recommend Andy Willoughby's three-step plan to anyone who is interested looking to change their economic future, just make a better life for themselves and for others. Andy Willoughby's three-step plan is definitely a way for someone to make a difference for their own future and for future of other people that get involved.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For information, go to 3-STEP-USA or call 800-480-2102. 800-480-2102. 800-480-2102.
Relatives of those people who died on 9/11-2001 are quietly taking in the memorial at the site of the World Trade Center. The tree-covered plaza opened for the first time today, with roaring waterfalls surrounding two reflecting pools where the Twin Towers once stood. It includes the names of all 2,977 souls who died on 9/11 in New York, at the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania, and the six who died in the bombing of the Trade Center in 1993. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said a decade after the September 11th attacks, Iran's nuclear program must be stopped. At ceremonies in Jerusalem today, Mr. Netanyahu called the possibility of extremists getting atomic weapons a real threat. Iran's official news agency is reporting their country, Iran, has agreed to more nuclear cooperation with Russia. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
On to round three. If a train leaves Spokane...
Schenectady by Saturday!
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade.
Correct.
Bam.
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha-ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
That is rad!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry.
I'm a hugger.
The 10th anniversary commemoration ceremonies of the 9/11 attacks are almost complete. Here's Connie Lawn with more.
This has been both a sad and a proud day for the nation, as 10th anniversary events were commemorated in New York City, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, the Pentagon, and Washington, D.C. In their remarks, former President Bush quoted Lincoln, President Obama and former Mayor Giuliani quoted from the Bible. Vice President Biden spoke of the greatness of the 9/11 generation. The names of all of those who were killed in the attacks were read by loved ones who also visited the memorials. Music was played, including Amazing Grace, and the crowds chanted USA, USA. Connie Lawn, IRN USA Radio News, Washington.
Gordon Felt, whose brother Edward was killed on 9/11, said he's pleased with a peaceful spot for those who had family members killed on Flight 93 to come and pay their respects.
The sacred ground is safe and secure so that the final resting place of Flight 93's passengers and crew will be preserved for generations to come.
Former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge said he met a couple at Flight 93 Memorial that were at the U.S. Capitol Building in Washington on 9/11/2001.
They've been in the Capitol Building on September 11th, and then this was their third time back. They understood that your loved ones died so they could live.
It has to start somewhere.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Thanks for joining us. Ever since Katrina and the stories of all of the abandoned and lost animals, of the people forced to leave behind their pets, and we all have been acutely aware of the risk animals face in disasters such as floods, hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes. So I have two questions for you. First, is your family, including your companion animals, prepared for a disaster, like a flood or an earthquake? What will your family do if your power goes out for an extended period of time? And the second question is, do you know what resources are out there to help animals, maybe your animals, in times of disaster? Well, later in the show, we're happy to have Charlie Crosby from Noah's Wish. Charlie's been performing animal disaster relief for more than a decade, going right where help is needed, and is also an expert in disaster preparedness for animals. But first, we are all familiar with the term animal sanctuary. When I hear the word animal sanctuary, I have a warm and fuzzy image of nice, selfless people taking care of injured or orphaned animals who cannot be released to the wild. Or maybe the animals are former performers or subjects of experimentation. But is that reality? What makes a sanctuary? And who oversees the activities of such facilities? And what about the roadside family-owned animal attractions? Can you make any generalizations about what goes on inside them? I mean, if a facility houses animals and has a state license, well, is that enough to be deemed a sanctuary? And finally, what's the difference between a sanctuary and a zoo? Well, all these questions and more are about to be answered by our first guest today, someone who has undoubtedly dedicated his life to helping animals. Adam Roberts is founder and president of the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries, an organization that accredits animal sanctuaries. The group is charged with ensuring humane care of the animals in sanctuaries. Adam is also executive vice president of Born Free USA and on the board of directors of the Species Survival Network. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thanks for including me.
Adam, let's start with some definitions. You heard my brief introduction. What exactly constitutes a sanctuary?
Well, it's a great question, and it's a question that could be answered differently depending on where you are, I think, in the world, because obviously people in Cameroon face slightly different challenges than people in Kansas. So we have to remember that when we talk about wildlife sanctuaries or animal sanctuaries in general, we're talking about sort of a broad portfolio of species that are protected in these sanctuaries, and also the amount of money and time and dedication that people have to offer those animals. But in general, I think what we agree on is that sanctuaries are places where animals can live free from human interference, unless that interference is for the benefit of the animal, such as supplemental feeding or veterinary care, mm-hmm. where the animals are not allowed to breed to therefore increase the problem by having more of these exotic animals in need of protection, where there's no commerce in these animals so that they are kept protected and allowed to live freely for themselves but not shipped off somewhere else or sold for profit, and, of course, are not harmed in any way. So it's really a place, the kind of place that you're describing, that when you think of a sanctuary, where the animals can live out their days in peace, free from fear and suffering anymore.
Very good. Are there facilities or attractions, Adam, which improperly refer to themselves as sanctuaries?
Yeah, it's one of the real reasons that we started the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries, and this has been an idea that was in the works for probably 5 years before we actually launched the project. We were working back in the early 2000s on legislation before the United States Congress to prohibit the trade in big cats, lions, tigers, leopards, cougars, and hybrids of these species if they are destined for the pet trade. And one of the questions that kept getting asked of us is, well, where are all these animals going to go if they're confiscated because someone violates the law and tries to trade in these animals? And we started to look at the different types of places that were available, some incredibly good big cat sanctuaries like Big Cat Rescue down in Florida, but then others where you had people breeding tigers in their backyard and calling themselves a sanctuary as a way to make themselves seem more reputable and get money from unaware members of the public. And so that's really how the idea of GFAS, this Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries, was born, trying to find a way for the public, for legislators, for all of us to identify the good sanctuary, the true sanctuary, from the pseudo sanctuary.
Adam, what distinguishes a sanctuary from a zoo?
Well, it's a number of the things that I already mentioned in terms of not allowing animals to breed and making sure that there's no commercial components involved. And then there's also the concept of public visitation, you know, wanting these places to be closed off as much as possible from the public so that the animals don't have that constant intrusion into their daily routine from visitors, but also where, unlike a zoo, animals are able to live as naturally as possible. You know, you mentioned in the opening that I also work full-time for Born Free USA, and we have a primate sanctuary down in Texas where we have almost 200 acres available to the monkeys that we keep down there. And some of those animals are in enormous free-ranging enclosures, including baboons that are on a 2.5-acre enclosure. So they really can live pretty freely, and they have ponds and they have trees. And in most modern zoos, especially in cities around the country, they're not going to have that kind of infrastructure, that kind of ability to provide those naturalistic surroundings. So one of the many ways that zoos and sanctuaries are somewhat separate is this ability to keep people out and let the animals live without that intrusion, but also to give the animals a more naturalistic surrounding.
And it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that another difference is in zoos we exploit animals usually for entertainment and profit, and in sanctuaries they do the opposite. They're actually helping animals.
Yeah, in sanctuaries like our own and all the GFAS accredited sanctuaries, the real emphasis is on the animal, not the visitor. And so we want to make
right.
sure that the experience suits the animal first and foremost.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to GFAS, Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries. How does it operate? What are your main activities?
Well, really, we're just sort of an oversight body where we receive applications from sanctuaries that want to be accredited, and we have an accreditation committee that looks at those applications and decides if the sanctuaries should be accredited or not. And it truly is intended to be a global operation, so that we have sanctuaries that we've verified as sanctuaries all throughout Africa and are working in Europe and looking into Asia. So we really are trying to make this a global effort. But it's more than just an accreditation process, because we want to serve as sort of a sanctuary network so that individual sanctuaries that are GFAS accredited, that are members of our program, can share information with each other, share resources with each other. When one finds an animal in need of a home, they know if they can't care for that animal, say because it's not a species for which that sanctuary has expertise, they have a pool of resources to go to find the right sanctuary for that animal. So it really is a network. And then at the end of the day, too, we want to help these sanctuaries financially. So we want to either give them grants ourselves or help them find grants to keep their operations going or improve their operations where there's room for improvement.
Adam, do young sanctuaries or people who want to start one come to you for guidance?
Yeah, absolutely. We have had those kind of contacts, and we want to make sure that if a sanctuary is born anew, that it's done correctly right from the start. So we want to serve as a resource. And when you look at our standards, you know, we have two sets of standards. One are on the is on the operational side of things, all the things we've already talked about, no breeding, no commercial trade, no removing the animals to go around to schools, for example. So we have those sort of standard operating procedures. But then we also have species-specific standards. So that if you want to keep elephants or monkeys or horses, you know exactly how, in the minds of the GFAS board, those animals should be best cared for. And so we really do try and help sanctuaries, both new and old, get the animal care part of it right.
And do you work with government agencies?
We try to, yeah, especially the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of room for collaboration, I hope, over the years. If facilities, for example, are not up to par or animals are in need of homes, we hope that they'll come to us, come to GFAS, to find out the places that these animals should go. But also, I mentioned globally, internationally, there is something called a treaty called the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species. And it's a treaty that was signed in 1973 and has over 170 member countries. And one of the things that the parties to CITES looks at is the disposal of live animals, so that if an animal is confiscated, being illegally traded in another country, they need to decide what to do with that animal. And right now,
yeah,
a lot of those animals are euthanized. And in some countries, those animals are euthanized in very inhumane ways.
Yeah. Adam, I got to cut you off. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. More with Adam Roberts. He's the president of the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries. Black and orange stray cats sitting on the
fence. So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Mark Twain once said that the secret of success was making your vocation your vacation. And I can't think of anything I'd rather do than save folks money on their car insurance with GEICO. I'm proud to have helped millions of drivers save and save big. Hundreds of dollars a year. Come to think of it, my bosses say I should take a vacation. I'll probably go to the beach, get a little sun, see if anyone needs to save money on their car insurance. There I go again.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So what are you driving now? A Ford? A Honda? A Toyota? A few hours from now, it could be a car with OnStar. Introducing OnStar FMV, the new way to add OnStar to just about any car. All you have to do is head to your local Best Buy to see all it can do. Then Best Buy can install it for you. And suddenly, you're driving around in a car with the powerful protection of OnStar. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, subscription details, and stores near you.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other. With more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love, it's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to Adam Roberts. He's founder and president of the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries, GFAS, and we're talking about sanctuaries. Adam, what are the common problem areas for sanctuaries these days, and how hard is the economic downturn affecting them?
Well, it really is about the number of animals that are available for placement. And, of course, all of us doing all of this animal protection work around the country, you know, we yearn for a day when there's no need for animal sanctuaries because there's no problem that causes these animals to be homeless or in poor conditions needing rescue. But the bottom line is there's just more animals than we can possibly provide homes for, which is why we need each sanctuary that exists to be as good as possible, but also need to have new sanctuaries wherever feasible to handle the influx of animals, whether they're coming from roadside zoos or circuses or biomedical research laboratories or people's homes. And the more we can do to control those supply parts of the equation, you know, stopping the trade in exotic animals as pets, the fewer animals we'll have to rescue for sanctuaries.
Yeah. Adam, most of our listeners are aware of the problems associated with exotic pets. Tell me your take on it. How big a problem is it?
Oh, it's an enormous problem, and it's nationwide. And, I mean, you know, there are some incredibly bad actors, you know, people who are trading in great apes and other primates, people who are trading in big cats. And part of the problem is that in many places you can get a lion cub or a tiger cub as inexpensively or more inexpensively than you can a purebred dog. And so people are able to see these animals and have access to them, especially with the internet, and the trade flourishes. And, of course, at the end of the day, you know, these animals are wild animals, and they are dangerous. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a chimpanzee or a tiger can be terribly destructive to a human being. And we've got unfortunate numbers of cases where that holds true and people are attacked.
So, Adam, do you think this is a growing practice to acquire exotic pet, or do you see that people are becoming less likely to acquire one because they know the troubles associated with them?
Well, at Born for USA, we maintain on our website an exotic animal incidence database where people can actually track the numbers and types of incidents with exotic animals that happen year on year. And I think we might have hit a breaking point now where for many, many years there was an increase in the number of incidents and or there was an increase in the reports of incidents. It may be that these incidents have been happening for years and years, but it's just that technology and sharing information now has grown to a point where we have greater access to the information. But I think as we get our message out there about the dangers of exotic pet ownership, and there are more and more laws both at the federal and state level to control or restrict the keeping of exotic animals as pets, the numbers of those incidents might start to plateau and then hopefully eventually fall. So I think we might be at the breaking point now where the number of incidents starts to go down because we're succeeding in our important work.
And I want to emphasize to my listeners that you're just not your source of animals is not, just not from people who have owned or once owned an exotic pet. As you mentioned earlier, and I just want to reemphasize this, you take animals that have been involved with research, the exotic pets, circuses, animals used in entertainment, roadside shows, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, I was talking earlier about different sanctuaries having sort of different missions, and some related to big cats, some related to primates, some related to horses,
yeah.
And all of those animals are going to come from different sources.
Right. Now, on your website, you specifically mention problems with horses, captive wild parrots, and reptiles as problem areas. Why are we dealing with more of each of these types of animals?
Well, I think on the birds and reptile side, it's because of the sheer quantity of animals that are traded. You know, you're looking at millions and millions of animals traded, and because they are, long-lived, it becomes problematic as well, where people, you know, decide that they don't want them anymore and give them up, or reptiles become increasingly dangerous as they get bigger and people don't want them anymore. And horses are quite challenging because of the cost of keeping them. There are plenty of horse sanctuaries out there around the country, and some of them are doing amazing work, but there really is a question of how we can keep them and protect them for their lives when you have, so many out there, both in the wild and also from the racing industry. So, you know, there really are problems, but with reptiles and birds, I think it's just the sheer quantity that presents the biggest problem.
Yeah. Are animal sanctuaries similar to animal dog and cat shelters that you can just never get quite enough of them?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. You know, my wife works for the Washington Humane Society, and so I get sort of the daily tales of the dog and cat side of things and how hard it is to run a city shelter and make sure that all those animals are cared for properly. And I juxtapose that against my work with the wildlife trade, and it really is quite similar in the fact that we just need more resources to protect all these animals because, of course, at the end of the day, whether it's a dog, cat, horse, elephant, or monkey, it's not their fault that they're in need of rescue, that they're in need of a home, but it is our responsibility to find a way, I think, to care for them humanely and compassionately.
Exactly. Adam, GFAS is a global organization, as you mentioned. How did you achieve a global reach in the short time you've been operating?
Well, before we went to break, and I apologize for over-speaking the music there. I didn't realize we were up against it. But I've been working for many, many years on this wildlife treaty, the CITES treaty, and so that's given me a real insight into the problems globally and also how to deal with governments around the world who are faced with this problem of how to dispose of live wildlife. And so at the end of the day, that's been able to give us access to all of these sanctuaries around the world and also working with other sanctuary organizations like PASA, the Pan-African Sanctuary Alliance, where many of their African sanctuaries are now verified by GFAS. So we really do know how to build bridges with sanctuaries around the world and networks that protect them.
And compared to the U.S., how do sanctuaries elsewhere in the world differ?
Well, you know, in some ways, it's very similar, quite frankly. They have the same problem of animals in need. It might be a different species, for example, a chimpanzee, but the chimpanzee that we would have in the United States that's come from a biomedical research facility or from a private pet ownership in somewhere in Africa might have come as a result of the bushmeat trade, where the mother chimpanzee is shot for her meat, for her flesh, and leaving an orphan cub behind or an orphan baby behind, and so that baby then needs a home. So, you know, there really are some similarities both in the types of species and the need. They just might come from different sources.
Okay, tell my listeners your website, and then I want to briefly ask you about the other organizations you're involved in.
Sure. Well, it's sanctuaryfederation.org, sanctuaryfederation.org, and you can find out all the different about all the sanctuaries that we accredit all over the world and what our standards are and who's involved. All that information is there, and hopefully year after year we'll increase our reach and get more sanctuaries under the GFAS fold.
And in the last few seconds, Adam, tell us about Born Free USA, which you're president.
Yeah, sure. We're a national animal advocacy organization. We have offices in California and Washington, D.C., and we do animal advocacy on fur and trapping, wildlife trades such as elephant ivory, but then we also have that primate sanctuary down in Texas that I mentioned earlier, where we care for more than 500 animals in need. So we sort of do both the animal advocacy side of things, but also the hands-on care, and that can be found at bornfreeusa.org.
Adam Roberts, thank you very much for coming on Animals Today.
My pleasure.
Don't go away. We're going to find out how to be safe, how to keep your family safe during a time of a disaster. You're listening to Animals Today.
Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
A recent 5-year study by Fidelity Investments finds that families are changing the way they tackle the rising cost of college. Increasingly, parents are using strategies like starting to save earlier and asking their children to work at school or graduate in fewer semesters to help defray expenses. Joe Ciccarello is Vice President of College Planning at Fidelity.
Parents are planning earlier and saving more efficiently, yet with costs continuing to rise, saving for college remains a challenge. Today, American families are on track to meet just 16% of total estimated college expenses. If parents are able to map out a saving strategy early and set up a dedicated tax-advantaged account like a 529 plan, it can help them be better prepared for future college costs.
To learn more about college saving strategies, visit fidelity.com/viewpoints or call 1-800-544-1914. I'm John Tridden.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EBs sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition. Better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to the show. This is Animals Today, and I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Listen, would you be ready to take care of your family and your companion animals if a disaster struck in your town, like an earthquake or flood or hurricane? The Northeast U.S. was recently subjected to severe floods due to a hurricane, and many folks were without power for days. Could you and your pets get through that? What basic items should you have on hand, and what planning should you make now? And if you need help, who might come to be of assistance to your pets? Well, joining us is Charlie Crosby. She's with the group Noah's Wish, a group that teaches disaster preparedness for people and their pets, as well as having many programs and services around the U.S. and Canada to get responders right into the disaster zone when needed. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Charlie, to me it seems that most people with pets know they should be better prepared for disasters, but they just don't take advance measures to do that. Is that the case?
It is, but the more, ever since Hurricane Katrina, people have become more aware, and we've been getting the word out about not leaving your home without your animals. So the more and longer I'm in this, the more I see people prepared where they have a backup plan and they've gone to stay with a friend as opposed to coming to us.
Right. Charlie, tell my listeners, what are the basic elements of a disaster plan for pets?
Well, first of all, you have to have a plan, and that plan is have a safe way to transport your animals. If you have a dog, make sure that that dog will get in the car. Have a safe way to carry your cat. Cats really aren't good travelers, so to have them contained is the safest way for that animal and for yourself. And know where you and your animals are going to go. Are you going to somebody else's house that's far enough away from the disaster? Are you going to a local hotel? Do you have another second home that's well out of the disaster zone? Those are all the things that you really need to work on first, and have other family members be a part of your plan that they would know how to reach you if you weren't where you would be going.
And plan these things now ahead, correct?
Absolutely.
You can't plan them the time during the...
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Disaster's not the time you want to plan.
Right. What are the important items people with pets need to have on hand if a disaster strikes? And where does one store such items?
Actually, I have a backpack. An old school backpack is usually a really good thing. Food and water, a food dish or a water bowl, a collar with identification is extremely important. Sanitation items, poo bags. If you have a dog, you know, a litter with litter scoop. Mm-hmm. If you have a cat, a copy of your vet records, a current photograph of your animal. And nothing says this animal belongs to me like a picture of you and your animal. And a way to keep your animal controlled or confined with a harness or an extra leash, a crate, or some kind of other pet carrier, any long-term medications, and a favorite toy or bedding that they know that they can feel comfortable with.
And talk about food and water for them. How many days do we plan for?
Normally we plan for 72 hours. It's all in all preparedness. We teach that you won't get help for 72 hours. We have a wonderful company out here in California that will take your dog food and compress the air out of the bag and make it vacuum packed, so the shelf life of that dog food is a lot longer. So something like that, or just food in a Ziploc bag. But if you don't use it, you know, in 6 months, pull it out and replace it with fresh.
Right. Charlie, how important is it to have your companion animal microchipped?
Extremely important. And what's even more important than having it chipped is to send that information in. In Hurricane Katrina, the Slidell Animal Control had adopted out many animals, and many, many of the people who lost their homes came back to the Slidell Animal Control for copies of their microchip records. Unfortunately, the Slidell Animal Control was a total loss to the storm surge. So have a backup plan there also. Keep that information somewhere that's not on you, in your home, because animals that are microchipped will find their way home.
Right, right. Do pets other than dogs and cats, let's say birds and reptiles, require specific planning different than what you've just mentioned?
Yes, because they require different care. People with birds always have a spare cage that you can leave that bird, you know, leave with that bird. Most of the people that have big birds don't think about having a big enough cage that they can get in their car to get those parrots and birds like that out of there. Reptiles, the same thing. If you have to leave with your reptile and you can take the tank, take the tank. We'll supply the power and everything else, you know, and if not, bring us your reptile in whatever you can, and we will get a home for it.
Charlie, I want to talk a few minutes about Noah's Wish, but first, tell my listeners the most important thing about emergency preparedness that they need to know.
Please do not leave home without your animals. Federal law, since Hurricane Katrina, the Stanford Act, says that every state must have an animal component to their disaster plan. What that means to the public is there will be something afforded to you that with your animals. They have to have or furnish some kind of safe haven for your animals. So leave with your animals. Show up at a Red Cross shelter. They probably won't let you in with your animals, but when the parking lot fills up with people and animals, trust me, a shelter will be spring up and into action.
Good. Very good point. Thanks for stressing that. It's hard. Someone like you and me who would never even think about leaving without our companion animals. I'm just telling my listeners, if you care at all about your companion animals, do what Charlie says. Do not leave without your animals. Do not leave them behind in a natural disaster. Charlie, please tell us about Noah's Wish.
Noah's Wish came into being in 2002, and our singular mission is to save animals during disasters with our rescue and recovery services and to mitigate the impact of the disasters on animals through our educational outreach programs. We do training in 8 different regions throughout the year. People come, they're trained, then they decide if they want to be volunteers with Noah's Wish to be deployed in a disaster close to where they are or if they're willing to travel. And we would really like eventually to be with no job because everyone was that prepared.
Right, Right. Charlie, how frequently are your emergency services needed?
Well, I've been deployed to Arkansas in May, Minot, North Dakota in July, and a three-day fire here in Lincoln, California about a week and a half ago. So it just depends on what Mother Nature throws at us or, you know, forest fires. And right now, the fires in Texas, they have their own group of people that work within Texas. But we're waiting on the sidelines to see if they need any help.
And who are the responders, which people actually go into disaster zones, and with what equipment?
We all, as volunteers, are responders. If we get deployed to a disaster, if it's local, we take our response trailers that we have with crating and all the supplies that we need to set up a temporary shelter. If we fly into another state, to another region, normally we get there within the week of when they need help. When the disaster strikes, most counties or places don't realize they need help until about 3, 4, 5 days later. So they ask us for help. We come in. They've already set something very basic up, but when we come in, we bring with us the availability of veterinary care and the volunteers to house and shelter as many animals as are there on site. And that goes from livestock. In Arkansas, we had llamas and goats and horses and dogs and no cats. So,
Charlie, in the last few seconds, why the name Noah's Wish?
What was Noah's Wish? It was to save the animals.
Very good. This is Charlie Crosby. She's with Noah's Wish. The website is www.noahswish.org, N-O-A-H-S-W-I-S-H. Charlie, thank you so much for being on Animals Today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Don't go away. The news with Peter is up next right here on Animals Today.
Some kind of happiness is measured out in miles. What makes you...
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377. You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eglin's Best Eggs. What makes Eglin's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eglin's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all natural Eglin's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eglin's Best. Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Welcome to Animals Today. I just love that song. Hi, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
Don't you love that song?
Kinks. Love them.
Yep. What's going on in the news?
Oh, I wanted to catch up on one little item from a couple weeks ago we didn't get to. Do you know about the dog named Honeybun?
Honeybun, no.
What Honeybun did?
No.
Honeybun's sort of the mascot of a jewelry store in Georgia. And she ate a pack of loose diamonds that were briefly left on a desk. And She hadn't done this before. She climbed up on the counter and swallowed them. And the vet was able to identify the diamonds radiographically with their spots that they left. And they just waited for things to work their way out, and diamonds were recovered.
And who was the person who recovered them?
Well, I don't exactly, you know, my source doesn't go through that much detail. Maybe you can find out. So $10,000.
Just put your glove on and look for the diamonds.
Anyway, in the Netherlands, you know, they're having this golf tournament, pro golf tournament at a big fancy club, and the tournament was attacked by an anonymous group of animal rights activists. They're mad at the sponsor KLM because KLM likes to fly around thousands of animals to laboratories around the world. So they are attacking the sponsor KLM by digging up the greens, the putting greens.
Oh, good.
And they struck so you're okay with vandalism of golf courses?
No, I'm really not okay with vandalism, okay. But, you know, if it has to happen, then that's the best type of vandalism.
Golf vandalism. Anyway, so they dug up some golf course, disrupted them a little bit, got their message out, but also set out a little warning, said this is where it starts, so you better stop flying these experimental animals around.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
They make their point, but, you know, truly, is it the right way to make it? To really be that destructive. I think people are going to look at them as more as nuts than anything else.
Yeah.
You know?
That's sort of been my view. That,
yeah.
That violence and vandalism probably is more detrimental than helpful for the cause.
Yeah.
But I know where these people, passionate people, are coming from. But
there has to be better ways.
Yes.
Maybe having a little protest versus being destructive. Just having a nonviolent protest in front of the entry to the golf tournament would be better.
Right. Or you can do what Animal Humane Society International is doing, which is teaming up with this singer named Keisha. Do you know who Keisha is?
No.
I don't know either until I read about her. She spells her name with a dollar symbol in the middle of it, K-E dollar sign H-A. So I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but please forgive me if I'm not saying her name right. But she's a big hot artist right now. She does sort of, dance, rap, synth music, so far as I can tell. I listened to a couple of tracks. Anyway, she is really into animals, and she says that her music is inspired by freedom and the primal beauty of animals and the natural world.
Oh,
and
that's so nice.
It is nice, and I have to. It's a little surprising when you see her singing and her whole entourage and her. Anyway, maybe I'm just becoming an old guy. She really believes that we can change laws that allow innocent animals to be unjustly mistreated and abused all over the world. That's a quote from her. Mm. So she sounds like the real deal in terms of animals. And so hopefully her relationship with Humane Society International, she's going to be like a spokesperson, will help promote global culture of compassion for animals.
That's really great, Peter.
Okay? So we'll let you know.
That's really great.
About her. You can download her songs whenever you want.
Okay, well, you weren't crazy about her music, huh?
A woman, moving on, a woman in the Chicago area, she's just been convicted of 18 counts each of animal torture, aggravated animal cruelty, and cruelty to animals related to the Muddy Paws Animal Rescue. That's in Deer Park. And she was claiming sort of neglect and turned down an opportunity to have a plea bargain which would keep her out of prison. Well, she was convicted on all those charges where they found this, horrific scene in the rescue. She may get up to 5 years in prison.
Wow.
And she sounds like she made a strategic mistake to turn down this plea bargain because the trial did not take very long for her to get convicted of those counts.
So a typical hoarding case almost?
She has got a rescue.
Okay.
And these animals were...
In... conditions
terrible.
Similar to
a
hoarder. Okay.
Right.